We got to have the right perspective. And again, if you heard me say it once, say it again. The goal and the scheme of your enemy is to give you wrong perspectives. To see or look at things in a wrong manner. And if he can get you to continually look at life in the wrong manner and have the improper focus and perspective, then he knows he's going to lead you to make a lot of wrong decisions because it comes from wrong thinking. And wrong thinking will lead to wrong actions. And wrong actions will lead to the consequences, the negative consequences that your adversary wants you to suffer. The devil hates each and every one of you and your lives and all that God wants to do. He's trying to destroy it. And so this series is here to empower us to expose our enemy and his tricks. At the same time, capitalizing on what God wants us to see. So if you would turn in the Bible to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and beginning with verse 1. Genesis is the book of beginning. This is the book where we see what we call first mentioned principles take place. Where we see that what things start here, they can kind of continue all throughout the Word of God and through human existence. And so when the Lord gives us things in the book of Genesis, he's given things for us to have revelation to be able to conquer things that maybe they didn't conquer before. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." This morning I'm going to preach to you deceptions of the enemy. Deceptions of the enemy. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do have an adversary. He is Satan. That is the definition of that word. He is an adversary. He is opposing us. He is strategizing. He is plotting. He is planning to take us out. Lord God, it's not always overnight, God, but he just begins to do things that maybe we don't be conscious of, and then it leads us down a slippery path that sometimes we have a hard time recovering from. But I believe today, God, you want to expose him. You want to give us an understanding of the Word of God and how the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we get the Word of God, we'll realize that God has come to give us life in it more abundantly. And that we're going to have the tools that we need to combat the adversary. We're not going to fight naked. We're not going to fight empty-handed. We're going to understand that there are more with us than there are with him. And we are going to rise up in these last days, in the last hour, and we're going to refuse to sit back quietly. We're going to have the right understanding, the right perspective. And God is going to help us beat the enemy. I said God is going to help us beat the enemy. God is going to help us have victory over areas that we've been weak in before. God is going to give us exactly what we need to overcome. If you believe that, clap your hands in the house of God this morning. Come on and shout unto God like you believe that God is going to speak. Come on and give God glory like you know he is in the house to help, to heal, and to recover every single one of us. Praise God. You may be seated here in the house of the Lord this morning as we continue our thoughts on having the right perspective. In looking at this chapter, Genesis chapter 3, this setting of scripture will certainly enlighten us on how the enemy works to give us the wrong perspective. You see, if we're not educated on how the enemy works in our minds and how he plants seeds or thoughts, we will constantly be subjected to his attacks with no idea of the roots of our bad thinking and our bad decisions and our bad behaviors. We will consistently scratch our head and wonder why we continue to make wrong choices. But I want to expose the enemy this morning, and I want to tell us that if we can expose his attacks and we can expose his cowardly ways, then we are going to be able to live differently and think differently and therefore act differently. And that is the reason why we can hear so many messages on a Sunday morning and then have so many issues by Tuesday without the ability to know how to handle them. And I'm going to tell you once, I'm going to tell you again, it is not the will of God for you to come and worship God and be empowered by the word of God, and then by Tuesday you feel like that all is lost and all is hopeless. The word of God is going to continually pound in your heart and pound in your ear until you grasp a hold of it and say, things are going to be different in my life. The joy of the Lord is not going to leave me by Tuesday afternoon. I am not going to feel like I'm helpless and hopeless by Tuesday afternoon. By Tuesday afternoon, I'm still going to be shouting the victory. On Tuesday afternoon, I still know that there was a word that God gave me to be able to overcome. I don't know about anybody else. I want Monday through Sunday to be the things that God wants to reveal in my life. I want to get up and say, this is a day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. But I will rejoice with understanding. I have been empowered and impacted by the word of the Lord. And no matter what the devil might throw my way today, I know I got something that will keep me. I know I have something on the inside that will make me more than a conqueror. Is anybody excited about the best week you had all year? Come on, you got to start thinking that. This is going to be the greatest week I had all year long, because I am about to get equipped and tooled up with the word of the Lord. I do not want to keep all these negative things at the forefront of my mind, even though I receive wonderful words from God. I am going to have the encouragement of the faith that I have in God's word to lift me higher. I have to keep on building upon and keep on being intentional about what God has given to me. And that's why I've been preaching in more serious form, so I can kind of repeat some things to help you say, okay, I'm remembering it and I'm regurgitating it, and I'm going to start seeing that my life is going to start walking on a higher plane. I just pray that's in somebody that's saying, I just want to walk on a higher level. I don't want those same things to keep on pulling me back down. No, I want to keep on rising. And when we look at the story of the fall of humanity, and that story quickly ends up with us looking at the woman named Eve. And when we look at it at first glance, we know that story kind of by heart. But the question must be asked in the middle of the story: how did she get to the place where she was deceived in the first place? Please hear me this morning. It is an important question to ask, because obviously it was not her intention to bring on pain in childbirth. It was not her intention for men to fall into a place of sin. It was not her intention to be deceived. It never ends up that way when we intentionally try to sabotage our life. It's not intentional that we want to sabotage our marriages or our jobs or our futures. Anybody intentionally try to sabotage your life? But doesn't chaos still have a way of entering in? Even though you're not intentionally trying to get it done, it was not her intention to be deceived and to fall. It is never the intention for us to operate outside the will of God. And yet so many times we still finding ourselves outside the will of God. That means it's not enough to have head knowledge about a story in the word of God. Head knowledge is not going to keep you when the fire moves in. Head knowledge is not going to keep you when the storm moves in. You can't walk with God with just a head knowledge of I believe in God or I know who God is. When true tests and true trials come your way, head knowledge is not going to sustain you. And so I don't want to just regurgitate a story without getting to the root of what happened, so that when the same thing is being plotted against us, we can recognize it and not fall into the deceptions of our enemy. Again, Genesis 3:1 says, another serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? We need to stop and take a look at that verse and recognize that it was Satan that was the one initiating the topic and the conversation, that it was him setting the stage of what should be focused on. Her focus was not on the tree. It was the devil that caused her to focus on the tree. Please follow what I'm trying to communicate to you this morning. It was Satan that got her focused in a place she was not focusing in on. We have to be aware that it will be the subtlety of the enemy that will try to get you to focus on things you shouldn't even be focused on. It is the plot. It is the plan. It is the deception of the enemy to get you focused, concerned, and thinking about things that you should not be. Her focus should have been on how to cultivate and keep the garden as best as she and her husband could, rather than focusing on things she could not control. And so the devil right now in your life is trying to get you to focus on things that are outside of your control, and he's trying to keep you from focusing on things which are in your control. Eve, you were supposed to be focusing in on reproducing more fruits in the Garden of Eden. You were supposed to be helping your husband keep the garden. Why are you allowing your focus to get outside of what God intended your focus to be on? And you're focusing on things that are outside of your control, and it's going to lead to the deceptions that will happen in your life. Oh, hear me this morning. So many people get caught up on things that they can't control, rather on the things that they can control. You are trying to fix things that you don't have power to fix, but I can tell you what you can fix. You can fix your own heart. You can fix your own motive. You can fix your own mindset. You can fix your own attitude. You can fix your own prayer life. You can fix your own worship. You can fix your own giving. You can fix your own sacrifice. Stop focusing on things you can't control and start saying, I'm going to focus on things that I can control. Because if I focus on things that the devil is trying to implant in my life, it will distract me from what God is trying to cultivate in my spirit. And then look how he words it. Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? That's what he said to her. Did God actually tell you, with all this fruit here, that you can't eat any tree in this garden? He planted a subtle seed that was saying, I want you to focus on something that you shouldn't. The number one thing I'm going to do in your life, I'm going to paint a picture of a restrictive God. I'm painting a picture that is trying to create a God that he's saying, you can't have the things that are around you. He's trying to focus you on things that you cannot do. And so many people are inhibited in coming to God because they think the house of God is about rules and regulations and things you cannot do. Can I tell you, that is a deception of the enemy. There's so much more freedom in the house of the Lord. That is a lie of the enemy, that church and religion is about rules and regulation. I tell you, no, it's not. It's about a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's about a relationship with the one that can carry all of your burdens, all of your trials, all of your headaches. It's about knowing that you serve a God that can do absolutely anything. I don't come to church because I have to. I come to church because I want to. I come to the house of God because there's joy in the house of God. I come here because when I come in this place, I don't leave the same way that I came in. I come in this house because when I know, when I worship him and I praise him, when the glory goes up, the blessings of God come down. Is there a witness in this house that we are here because the Spirit of the Lord is here? Be very careful of allowing Satan to speak to you and to get you focused on things you can't do, because things you can't or shouldn't do
are actually for your protection. He makes it like you're serving a restrictive God, but you're actually serving a protective God. God is trying to keep you from certain things. God is trying to shelter you from certain things. And as a pastor, so many times your heart can be broken because you see the deceptions of the enemy. But sometimes people are so lied to, they think the church is against them. They think people is against them. And then the pastor is against them. And the devil's lying to you. God is not a restrictive God. God is a protective God. God's trying to keep you. And many of you here right now, you know you made some bad decisions that you shouldn't have done, and you wish some things you could reverse, but I want to tell you, God can turn everything and still make it good if you would yield yourself to his plan and his will. Can I get an amen for that? Now, after he says God told you that you couldn't eat of any tree in the garden, Eve responds in her innocence. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, wait a minute, we may eat of the trees, plural, of the garden. He didn't restrict us from everything. You see what he did? He's getting now her to focus on something she had no business focusing on. He set it up by making it real big. God told you couldn't do nothing? Well, no, God didn't say I couldn't do nothing. God just said I couldn't do this. Oh, now her focus is on something she had no business focusing on. Are you hearing me this morning? And God says, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And so she got her focus on the no's rather than all the yeses. Can I tell you, there are way more yeses in the house of God than there are no's. There are way more yeses in this house. Yes, you can be healed today. In this house today, you can have your sins removed. In this house today, I tell you, you can receive the baptismal gift of the powerful Holy Ghost. In this house today, your mind can be made free. In the house today, there are way more yeses than there are no's. But now he got her focused on the no. So the enemy just now flats out lies to her and says, you're not going to die. You are not only not going to die. Let me tell you what's really going on. Because now she's focusing on the negative. He can now begin to work. The more you focus on the negative, the more you give access to your enemy. You better hear what I'm telling somebody right now. I'm trying to prevent your year from recycling the same things you have over and over again. Again, I tell you, when you open your eyes up to the negativity, you have opened a door to where Satan begins to speak to you. And he lies. He says, I'm going to tell you what's really going on. For God knows that the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes, what's our series about? The right perspective. And he tells her, your eyes are going to be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He gets her to focus on now the motives of God, but now twist them. The reason why God doesn't want you to partake of this fruit is because God is a God of hindrances. God is a restrictive God. God is trying to limit you. God is trying to keep you down. And people talk to you that way. They make you think that God is trying to keep you down. You go to that apostolic church, you got all these rules and regulations. They're trying to keep you down. And I'm telling you that as a deception of the enemy. God has something so special for those that will yield themselves. But now, wait a minute. I read this. I said, stop here for a second. When did Eve ever say that she actually wanted to be like God's? So what I see here is that Satan is implanting something that was in himself. I mean, wasn't it Satan who tried to rally up some angels and to become like God? And so God, we find, kicked him out of heaven. But what we see, the nature of Satan, he's trying to do what he wants to do and put it inside of your life. When did Eve ever say, I wanted to be like other gods, be like the gods? But it was Satan's desire and Satan's will to be put inside a human mind. You better hear me what I'm telling you right now. You better hear me, I'm telling you right now. Wait a minute. It was Satan that wanted to rise up against God. And so we find Satan is trying to take his will and his purpose and implant it upon somebody who will open themselves up to his deceptions. He wants to implant thoughts of what he wants to happen in your life. It is his plan, his plot, his deception that is trying to control where your thought process and my thought process is. And we see it right here in Scripture. I need you to think with me and watch. Notice Satan says, your eyes shall be open. We're talking about sight and we're talking about vision in this series, are we not? And what we need to be focused on. And here we see the enemy is wanting to dictate what our eyes should be focused on. The enemy is trying to dictate what our focus should be on. And what I'm preaching to the congregation this morning is that we cannot allow the enemy to be the one that tells us and dictates where our thoughts should be. We must be aware of the deceptions of our enemy. Are the things that I'm thinking about fresh with me, or did I adopt them from the pit of hell? The enemy is absolutely trying to dictate your focus. What right now in your life, your thoughts and focus is actually causing more strife, and you think it's trying to fix the situation, and you think that it's going to help your situation, but your thoughts and your actions are making the situation worse. Who do you think that really came from? Pastor, you're saying that we're all full of the devil? I'm not telling you that. But what I'm telling you is that if things are causing more chaos in your life, other things you're trying to get done, maybe it did not originate with you. Maybe Satan's been whispering things and you think it looks right, it acts right, and it sounds right. But if it's causing more chaos in your life, it is the deception of the enemy. And you got to pray and you got to call to God and say, God, don't let me be caught up in the deceptions of my enemy to cause me to do things and think things that are making the situation worse for my life. So now she's focused on it, and watch what happens. Look at verse number 6. Thank you, Brother Hannah. And when the woman saw perspective that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, saw, and now eyes, and the tree was to be desired. Beauty has to be what? Seen to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat, and the eyes of both of them were opened. The perspective was changed. But it was the deception of the enemy that moved in. Look at what happened. The deception of the enemy came and got her to do something she never intended to do. And right now in our lives, there are things we've been doing, things we've been thinking, actions we partook of that we would say before our life, we never thought we would be in that place. I'm not talking real to anybody here today. You're thinking thoughts you never thought you would think. You're doing things you never thought you would do. You've been trying to walk with God, but somehow, even though your intentions were not to be near the world, you find that you're walking more closer to the world. You find your mind is all messed up and confusion is all around you. She did not intend for her and her husband to be separated from the presence of God. Kicked out of the garden. No, but the deception of the enemy and the focus that he had now became her thoughts. And we will end up in these same predicaments if we don't get our mind on the thoughts of God and not the thoughts of the enemy. I'm exposing him today. Let's lift our hands right now, because he is going to try to resist it. He's going to try to distract somebody right now. He's going to try to get somebody confused. And I'm praying against that spirit right now. I pray that any spirit, not of you, God, will be removed, and that somebody will get revelation today. And they are not going to see continued current negative places to allow Satan to have free will in their life. No, somebody's coming out today with a new mind, with a new perspective. Come on, somebody pray with me. We got to learn how to pray also in the spirit. When there is an enemy attack, we got to resist. Resist it in the name of the Lord. So many people have problems because they're living out the thoughts of the enemy. Watch scriptural evidence.
Turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 24.
Another parable Jesus is talking, put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. He's trying to do what's right. He's trying to follow the word. He's trying to be obedient. He's trying to have a godly home. They're trying to live for God. But verse 25 says, but while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You see, he wants to plant seeds in the night. He wants you to make them as your own. And so now you think that it is you that's thinking that I have to get a divorce. You think that's your thought. Come on, somebody. He plants a seed in you right now that you think that you can stray away from holiness. He plants seeds in the night that you think you don't have to be faithful in your attendance. He plants seeds in the night that says you don't have to be faithful in your tithes. He plants seeds in the night that tell you think you don't have to pray and seek the face of God. It's not necessary. He plants seeds in the night that makes you think that you can feel any kind of certain way and not worship God. He plants seeds in the nights that makes you think you can lie, you can cheat, you can cuss, you can fuss. He plants seeds in the night that now you think that your secret sins aren't a big deal so long as nobody finds out. He's planting seeds in the night. He's planting seeds in your spirit. He's planting seeds in your thoughts. And we got to expose him. We got to be aware of the enemy. We got to say no to all those things that don't line up to the word of God. We got to say all these things are originating with Satan, and I refuse to adopt them as my own. You got to say, I'm not going to adopt the deceptions of my enemy. His goal is to give us thoughts in our minds, and I refuse to say I'm going to take them as my own. I want to give you more examples in scriptures of what I believe that the Lord is trying to help us with this morning. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. He put fire then in and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not to do. This was a form of worship the priests were responsible for. There was a responsibility for true and for pure and for unadulterated worship. They were supposed to get the fire fresh on the altar. And there are so many people that keep on bringing broke down, tore up, tired wood in the house of God. And God is saying, it's time to rekindle your fire. Get a fresh fire for me. Stop bringing your leftovers. And we find that they brought strange fire. Where did that strange fire come from? Where was the decision to worship God in a way that we're not commanded to do? That comes from the deception of your enemy. Do something that looks right. Do something that resembles worship. I don't want to resemble worship. I want to worship him in spirit, and I want to worship him in truth. I want to worship him with the depths of my soul. If that's you, raise your hands this morning and say, I want to give you pure worship, my God. It looked like they had the right motives, but it was not the way God intended. God does not want you to just show up and say, I'm in the house of God. I have the right motives. I'm here. God says, that's not the worship I'm asking for. He says, worship me all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And Nadab and Abihu, God had to strike them down way earlier. And when he began to bring them the principles of worship, because he says, if you will worship me, then you got to do it the way I want you to worship me. Nadab and Abihu, they said, I can come to church however I want to. I'll take my own censer. I'll take my own way. I'll put my own fire in it, and I'll bring it to God. You better change your mindset in the house of God. Stop thinking you can worship God any way you want to. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. He says, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Don't come in here, you or I, and make up our worship. No, I gotta worship the God that I serve the way he told me to worship him. I must give him my best praise. I'm glad it's about 25 of you that are getting it. There are about 30 more. You better hear what I'm saying. There are 30 more. You better learn how to tap in, because if you don't, you'll be deceived by your enemy in other areas of your life. Because if you can't follow the first commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength, how can you follow any other commandment? How can the blessings of God fall in favor on your life if you can't give God the very first commandment? And we wonder why there's so much hell in our life. And the devil's looking back smiling. He's saying, because they're deceived by me. They won't worship the God who is all powerful. They won't humble themselves. They'll keep bringing their little fake incense to God. And Satan says, yeah, keep on coming to church. And then you get, what's the word I'm looking for? Disenfranchised with church. And you think church ain't working. You think church is the problem. You think church is not, it's not where it's really at. And devil's saying, yeah, that's right. Not, no, no. And God is saying, no, no, you're missing it. You've been deceived. You're not giving your very best. You're giving Nadab and Abihu worship. They're there. They're in the house. They're present. They're priests. But we'll just do it our own way. When is the last time you wept in God's presence? There was a time that Moses went to worship with the 70 elders. And then Moses was done and Aaron was done. And some of the people were done. They said, Moses, Aaron, stop them. They're still prophesying in the temple. And Moses said, would to God that everybody would have that same longing to be in my presence. When's the last time you ignored everyone around you and said, I'm not getting up on this altar until God blesses me? When's the last time you've been like Jacob that says, God, I refuse to let you go? The problem ain't with church. The problem is with your selfish pride. The problem is with your arrogance. The problem is with you not humbling yourself before the presence of Almighty God. It's your problem. You won't worship God with all your heart. And God is so loving and God is so kind. And we think, well, God will just take me as I am. But let me tell you, God will separate. He says, leave those tares alone. Let them stay among the wheat. I'll take care of them eventually. So does the fear of God and the reverence of God, does that even shake you anymore? Or is it just the old preacher shouting and yelling? It doesn't really apply to me. God needs to shake us in this end time hour to have a holy reverence and an honor for his presence. Why don't you raise your hand right now and see if you honor him? If you are hesitant in raising your hand, I want to tell you, you just might be in a position where you've been deceived by the enemy. But till today, I tell you, you can break forth from that. Lift your hands to God and say, Lord, don't let me be deceived. Lord, change my heart. Lord, let me have a true motive. Let me not give strange fire and strange worship. Let me worship you in spirit and in truth. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. It wasn't David's idea to number Israel and show his pride. The Bible clearly says Satan stood up against him. Satan's trying to stand up against you in so many areas. Are you aware of the deceptions of the enemy? Luke chapter 22 and verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. What does that tell me? Nobody is exempt. Judas saw Jesus walk on the water. Judas saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. He saw all the miracle signs and wonders that Jesus did. He was in the presence of Jesus for 3.5 years, and yet he still as well allowed Satan to enter in. No one is exempt from the attacks of the enemy. No one is exempt from him trying to slip in. And we find, even though he was numbered with the 12, verse 4 says, and he went his way and he communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him. Anybody can betray Jesus. Anybody can turn their back on Jesus. Anybody can lose their focus and their fire. And the Lord is saying, I got to make you aware of the deceptions of the enemy. He'll creep in when you're sleeping. He'll creep in when you're not motivated. He'll creep in when you're distracted. I tell you, don't allow the enemy to distract you. I say, don't allow the deception of the enemy to move in your life. Acts 5 and 3. Peter said to Ananias, Because Ananias and Sapphira were withholding what belonged to God. Are you withholding your tithes and your offering? Are you saying it's not important to support the work? Are you saying it's not important to give what belongs to him? And then you try to justify it as they did. And the Bible says in verse 3 of Acts 5, why have Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back? What are you withholding from God? You're lying to yourself. You're lying to the Holy Ghost if you don't fully submit yourself to God. This is not a game. We're trying to reach the lost as the body of Christ, and we cannot allow the deceptions of the enemy to lie to us and tell us these things are not important, that they're not valuable. I tell you, they're valuable, because the kingdom of God has to spread. The kingdom of God has to go forward. The kingdom of God has to be supported. And you can worship God and think you're doing it your way, but God says, you are robbing me as well in your tithes and your offerings. What are you holding back? And then why are you justifying it? Is it original with you? Or did you allow a satanic origin to get welded up in your spirit? And you begin to make excuses and justify it. All these actions came from the thoughts that came from Satan. And what I'm communicating is that we have to have the right perspective and recognize that we need a people who are spiritually in tune and have the thoughts of God and rebuke Satan. Jude verse 9. But when the archangel, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume, and he said, the Lord rebuke you. I'm tired of fussing and fighting with my enemy. I'm tired of allowing him to speak in my ear. I'm going to stop it at mid-sentence and say, devil, the Lord rebuke you. I wish someone right now would open your mouth and say, devil, I rebuke you. I won't allow you to confuse my walk with God. I won't allow you to keep me deceived. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm coming out of my mess. I'm getting rid of the tears. I'm going to get a hold of God like never before. I will allow the Spirit of God to move in me, that I'm able to see the attacks and the lies of my enemy. We all need revelation to move in our heart, to make us aware of what originated with Satan, and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout it out. I rebuke it. Say it again. Say, I rebuke it. In the name of Jesus. Solution. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What's our theme for this year? Back to the basics. And Paul is saying, here's revelation. I don't want you to be deceived the same way Eve was deceived. I don't want you to be deceived and let Satan move in your minds. Who is doing what? He's corrupting you from the simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity is getting back to the basics and understanding that Jesus Christ has conquered Satan. He does not have the power over you. You got to get your mind refocused on a man named Jesus and let him renew your mind. Jesus has the power to change your mind. Mindset. Jesus has the power to heal everything the devil has lied to you about. Jesus can restore your faith. Jesus can restore your energy. Jesus, he's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Jesus is a way out of no way. He's a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He cannot fail. What do I need? I need a little bit more Jesus. I need a little bit more of his anointing. I need a little bit more of his power. I cannot get it by myself. By myself, I will be deceived. But if I can call on Jesus, he's right there. If I can call on Jesus, he'll make a way. Reach your hands up right now and shout the name. Shout the name. Shout the name. Shout the name. Let your name be exalted. Let your name be lifted up. Satan comes. If you were standing on your feet this morning to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and it more abundantly. Don't take his thoughts. You don't have to. Jesus conquered Satan, hell, death, and the grave. Don't let pride overtake you. Humble yourselves is the correct answer. You have things right now you can't fix by yourself. So take your focus off of those things. Take your focus off of the things in the nose and the negativity. Get your eyes refocused on the solution. Get your eyes refocused on the answer. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on the one who has all power to give the solution. Focus on the one. And that's why the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. I don't know how or when he's going to do it. So I won't look at my watch. I'll look up to my Savior. I don't know how he's going to make a way, but my eyes are on my problem. My eyes are on Jesus. I don't know how he's going to heal my body, but I know the word of God says, by my stripes, you are healed. You cannot get out by yourself. You cannot shake it by yourself. You can't be healed by yourself. You have to get your eyes on the simplicity of the gospel. That is the blood of Jesus Christ that has a solution for you. You got to tap into the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the simplicity of the gospel, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down the right hand of the throne of God. This is the gospel. Back to the basics. That if you've not yet repented of your sins and the deception of the enemy, today, because of the gospel of Jesus and the death on the cross that Jesus paid on Calvary, your sins can be removed today. Someone say yes. No matter what you've done, no matter what mistake you made, the simplicity is, don't listen to the lies of the enemy that says you're too dirty. No, no, no. The gospel says, I can make you clean. I can restore your home. Somebody hear me. I can restore your home. I can restore your health. But you got to call on the name and get involved with the blood and plead the blood of Jesus. You must be born again of water and the Spirit. If you've not yet been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, then I want to tell you the gospel says be baptized in the name of Jesus and all your sins will be washed away and you will be able to say, Satan, I'm not deceived by you anymore. I've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. My sins have been forgiven, and I'm a new creature in Christ. There are some husbands and some wives. The deceptions of the enemy are moving in, and you're focusing on all your problems. But how much are you focusing on Jesus? Because Jesus will soften your heart. Jesus will give you patience. And you'll stop focusing on your spouse, who you cannot control. And you can focus on yourself, who you can control. Single people as well. You can keep your eyes on Jesus. and know he's all that you need. That he sustains you, that he gives you life. He gives you that joy in your heart. He gives you the value that nobody else can give to you. And you can say, I'm beloved of my Father. Someone slip your hands up to him right now. If you have not been born again today, you must be born again, the Bible says. And the devil wants you to focus on your sin and tell you how dirty you are. But I tell you, Jesus wants you to focus that he can take away your sins. Some of you, the devil is trying to get you to focus on your past. But Jesus is saying, I want you to focus on the future that I have for you. I got a future for you. The devil's been lying to you about your character. Been lying about you, about your present. And Jesus is saying, I got a future for you if you just get a hold of me. Don't focus on your sickness. Focus on your Savior. You don't have to handle it by yourself. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Father God, right now I pray over this congregation that you will let us see, oh God, the deceptions of our enemies. And we say no more. No more will I allow myself to adopt the thoughts of Satan. No more will I allow myself to adopt what he wants from my life. It's not his life. I was purchased with the blood of Jesus. And Jesus wants better for my life. So I turn my back on the lies of Satan. And I turn my eyes. I refocus my vision. I get the right perspective on Jesus. Is there anybody here this morning that wants to come down to an altar and say, Lord, I'm refocusing my attention on you. In faith, I want you to step out on these aisles and say, today is a day where I allow myself to be aware of the attacks of my enemy. These altars are open for somebody to come down and humble yourself and ask God to deal with your problems and let him know, God, my eyes are no longer on my problems. My eyes are on you. I won't allow the devil to dictate my focus. I won't allow him to dictate my life. But I will allow Jesus Christ to move. That's it, church. That's it, church. Humble yourself. That's it, church. Humble yourself. Humble yourself before the presence of God. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. I can't do this by myself. By myself, I'll be deceived. By myself, I get wore out. By myself, I'll be frustrated. But Lord God, with you, revelation will come. With you, God, the answer will be there. And I tell you this morning, the answer's here for somebody. The answer's here for somebody. The word of God is here for somebody. He has a solution for you, but you got to reach out to God. Reach out to God. Reach out to God. Reach out to God.